All right, welcome back to the podcast. My name is Doug, and I'm a grateful believer in Jesus, and I'm a recovering sex addict.
Doug, this is Santa Claus for Christmas Day. Have you been a good boy this year?
I have, but I'm not sitting on your knee, so we're not doing that.
Oh, that's a shame. Well, you know, we have the polygraph exam that we can check to see if you've been naughty or nice. I stopped checking the list twice, so I go to the polygraph now, and I have an elf that runs that for me.
That's a much better system, I'm sure. Much more accurate.
Four years ago, I read your first step, and you were definitely naughty. So I'm hoping you're making progress.
Yeah, definitely. I hope so, too. All right, so if y'all couldn't tell, the Santa there is George, so welcome back, George.
No, it was a homeless guy that was sitting on my phone. I was wondering what the heck he was doing. The guy's drunk, he's walking around all crazy-like, he smells like whiskey.
Yeah, that sounds like your typical mall Santa, I think.
Oh, I hope he didn't call you a hoe.
No, he did not. He did not.
Okay, good.
All right.
My wife calls me sometimes.
Well,
she says she'll say ho ho, and she'll look at me.
So you got to get the picture there. Well, if you haven't figured out, if you're listening to the podcast and you look outside and you're wearing shorts at the beach, like what's going on? It's Christmas here, so whenever you're listening, whatever time frame you're in, put your Christmas hat back on, your Santa hat, or just get back in the cold spirit of things, because this is a Christmas episode of sorts. Obviously, we're still going to talk about recovery and that kind of thing. So I thought this would be a great time to just have a little contest. We don't ever do this on the show very often, but we're going to have a contest of the best Christmas dad jokes. Some people call them bad jokes, but I don't think that's accurate. So I told George he had to come up with three dad jokes for Christmas, and I have three. And so we're going to see who can come up with the best dad joke for Christmas. Hopefully you can find some PG-related jokes. So as we jump off here, I'll give it the first shot over the bow here. We'll give it a shot. How do you know that Rudolph was having academic trouble at school?
I don't know. How?
Because he was told by his teacher, you'll go down in history.
I think we just lost all of our...
Yeah, everyone just hung up.
Why was the candy cane so expensive?
I don't know.
Because it was in mint condition.
Oh, that is good. That is good.
Terrible.
Yeah. So what is the elf's name that's always clapping? The elf's name is Santa Claus.
Okay. What do you give a depressed elf?
What's that?
An elf help book.
Oh.
Like an elf help book. Yes, yes.
All right.
And probably next.
So what is Cool Santa's favorite song?
I give up.
Feliz Navidad Dab. And you got to do the dab at the end.
Of course, yes. How do you tell the difference between a snowman and a snow woman?
I don't know.
The snowballs.
Yeah. I had a feeling that was actually the answer that was coming.
I give up. That's all I know.
All right.
You could go on. I'm getting to inappropriate stuff. You see how it?
Yeah. So it didn't take you very long.
No, three jokes and I'm there.
So yeah, I think Christmas is kind of a funny time of year when you're thinking about all the different things that are going on. And I was thinking about like funny Christmas songs. And then they actually can be kind of recovery related if you think about it. But there's some odd songs that we won't talk about. Like, what is a new old-fashioned way? I don't even understand what that is. You know, last year the whole Me Too movement kind of crushed the Baby It's Cold Outside, because that's kind of a creepy song when you really start to think about it. I don't know how to touch, like, I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus, because that's That's weird. I mean, how are kids not more scarred because of that? But one song that came to me was this, I'll Be Home for Christmas. And I started thinking about the lyrics. And I don't know if you've, you know, if you know that song, I'll Be Home for Christmas, You Can Count on Me.
I know the song, but I don't know the lyrics.
Okay, so You Can Count on Me, Please Have Snow, and also Have Mistletoe, and Have Presents Under the Tree. So it just felt like this, like, demanding song. Like, I'll come home for Christmas, but you need to have all these things in order first. And then at the very...
Wow, that sounds like me at home.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and so I started thinking about it. It's kind of a funny song. And then at the end of, like, the chorus, he says, if only in my dreams. So maybe I won't even really come home at all if I'll just dream about it. So it's kind of flaky.
Oh, wow.
But it was kind of reminded me of me and my addiction. Like, if you do all these things for me, then I'll be happy. Then I'll come and grace you with my presence. Maybe. You know, it was very non-committal. So I just thought that was a funny song that I was just going to make a joke about. And then I was like, you know what? That kind of hit me between the eyes. It is a song that would have really encapsulated who I was for a long time as an addict.
Well, are you saying that if they don't do everything, that I won't be happy? Well, what are you talking about? I mean, that's exactly how it works, right? You do everything. You get the Christmas tree up and the presents and all this stuff, and you know, I'll grace you with my presence. That's how it works.
Yeah, I think that's how I thought it worked for a long time.
That's what Christmas is all about.
So
not
so much. So,
oh my God.
So how has Christmas, holidays, anything related to that changed as you look from, you know, George in his addiction to George in recovery to what are the holidays like now?
I think it's more for me being present, a present to my family. Do you like that pun?
I do. I was going to call it out. That was a good pun.
Yes, thank you very much. I'll be here all night. But seriously, being present for my family, when we do the gift opening and all that stuff, being the one that maybe films or takes pictures or helps my kids. They're getting older, so a lot of times they can do it themselves. But, you know, in the past, I didn't really want to be around. I'm fortunate, though, that my recovery started when my oldest was only 18 months. So she was 2 when I was in recovery. So really it was, you know, one Christmas that she went through that I was not involved. So I'm very fortunate but like that. But also my wife just being, you know, I'll be completely honest. We're at the point where we don't buy each other Christmas presents. If we do, it's kind of like it's in my Amazon gift list. Right. And I know exactly what she wants, and she knows exactly what I want, and she can buy it for me, and I can buy it for her. But a lot of the gift giving goes to my children. But, you know, I've told them this numerous times to ask them what I want for Christmas. And I want them to work in slave labor camps to make me a homemade Christmas present. And that, to me, is worth more than them going to a store and buying something for me, and or even a Star Wars or a Texas A&M stuff. Their homemade present, not in a labor camp, just in case CPS is listening, that is worth more to me than anything else, because it's something only they, only I can receive, and that only they made. So I can't have it duplicated. I can't get somebody else to do it, whether it's a handprint or a drawing or a poem or even a picture of the family. I think Becky did that once. She took I didn't know she was doing this, but she had a professional photographer photograph all of us together, and I thought it was just a person at a Christmas thing we went to, and she gave me a present of the whole family, of a picture of all of us, and it's sitting there in my office at work. So little things like that mean so much more to me. And then me being present and me being a part of Christmas, not apart from Christmas, celebration. That's the other thing that I really enjoyed versus before when I was, with my family of origin, old girlfriends or old relationships and even friends. I really didn't get too involved. I was too busy, wanting to take a break from all this stuff because it was stressful for me. Having my family of origin there, having, friends or whatever, girlfriends, it was stressful. And I knew how to medicate my stress. And so I excused myself somewhere so I could, back then it was like I'd have to pull out a laptop or something because it was before the digital phone age or the big screen phone age. So, I did all I could to avoid Christmas. And the other part about it, Doug, was that deep down inside, I felt a lot of guilt and shame around Christmas because even though I said I was a Christian or at least a Catholic who's a believer in Christ, I sure as heck wasn't acting like one. Mm. And so when Christmas would come around, everybody would say, "Happy birthday to Jesus." Deep down inside, I'm screaming for compassion and, please help me and, man, I'm not worthy and all this shame and guilt, which today I don't feel. Not even close. I think today, having the freedom that I have, it's just so liberating and the anxiety and the stress is minimized and we just kind of just do Christmas. We don't do a lot of planning. We don't try to make it perfect. I mean, my favorite Christmas tree we have now is, my wife, I love her, but she went Christmas overboard this year, and we have two Christmas trees in the house, one in the front dining room area, so the neighbor, a nice one, so the neighbors think we're nice, and have the nice ornaments and lights and everything that shines out to the front street, and then we have the one in the living room, which is just filled with handmade ornaments that my kids made over the last 12 years. And we just hang them on this tree that we've had for 15 years. The lights don't work on it anymore. We have to put these other lights on there. But that's my favorite tree because it has all the kids' stuff on there. And the fancy one up front, I don't care about that one. If the cows catch on fire, I'm picking up this 100-pound tree and I'm running out the house with all the ornaments. Yeah. And maybe my kids too. I might have them too.
Right. Ornaments first.
I'm terrible.
Yeah.
Ornaments first, yes.
So, yeah, I think that highlights a lot that's similar for me too. When I look back in my addiction, I mean, just you saying that about the shame and the guilt brought on those feelings of what it used to be like. Like, here we go to candlelight service or, read, the account out of Luke or just do those traditional Christian Christmas things, and I would always feel like I'm really not fully here because God doesn't want me to be here, because God knows what I've really done. And so it was really hard to sit through this really inspirational service, which, every Sunday was hard, but this just seemed extremely hard, knowing who I really was and what I was being. And so not having that now and just having the freedom to truly just worship the season and, like you say, just be with your family, and that's the exciting thing. I don't care if I get, the dad gift or not the dad gift, the homemade gift or whatever. I just want to see, family around. I want to have several days in a row where we're all have nowhere else to go where we can just kind of be together. And that didn't used to be the case. It used to be kind of watching the calendar, like, when can I get back to, my other life? Or when can I get back to kind of that speed that I'm used to or the drug that I'm used to? And so it's really different now that this is the time that I crave and I want it to be. It reminds me of the movie It's a Wonderful Life. And I think, I've heard a lot of people use that for addiction stories. If you haven't watched It's a Wonderful Life, too bad. You're going to get a spoiler. You've had 55 years to watch it or something. Who knows?
I'm guilty, Doug. I have never watched that, but I know the premise of it.
All right. So you get the premise. You understand what happens. It is a long movie, but it's worth watching. This idea that he gets to, his life just kind of falls apart, but he gets the chance to kind of go back and redo it again. And when he's going back, all the things that used to bug him, the things that he was annoyed with, the things that he didn't like, he loves now. Like, okay, his daughter was playing the piano and playing this Christmas song over and over and over. And the first time through, he was annoyed. He yelled at her. He lost his temper, which I've done to my own kids. But on the redo, it's beautiful. He goes over and talks about how beautiful she can play and how joyous it is to hear the talent that she has. And it's just the same event with a different perspective. And I just think it's a really cool way to view our own life. Like, things can be falling apart, it feels like. Or, you know, we can be just real but walking life together in a relationship. It's the same events. It's just our perspective.
Wow, that is amazing. I, like I said, I've never seen that movie, but now I'm moving it up to the top 30 movies so I can watch it soon. Actually, I'll probably put it on, because it's got to be on the TV this Christmas, so I'll probably find it and watch it the next day or so, because that is very powerful. That's exactly who I was versus who I am today. You know, listening to one of my kids singing loud. My youngest, my five-year-old, is going through her Michael Jackson phase, where she loves all Michael Jackson songs. And I don't have the heart to tell her, you know, what the guy was accused of doing. but she sings it, and it's just like, it's not great, but it's beautiful to me now. But I can imagine the old George would have totally been like, you know, be quiet. I'm trying to watch a football game. I'm trying to, you know, watch TV or whatever. And now it's kind of like I listen to her, and it's kind of like, man, I love her singing, even though it's terrible. I hope she doesn't listen to this podcast. She'll be quiet.
Yeah.
But she's still thinking, keep doing it too. And it's just like, wow. She doesn't even know the words to beat it. Or the best is she's singing Billie Jean, which is a song about a woman accusing Michael Jackson of with her. And she doesn't know. She's seen it. And it's kind of like, and it's cute because of that.
Yeah, there's a sweet innocence about that. And but seeing that for what it is a really great thing. And I just think, you know, that's what I would want to say to any listener that's out there, even if you are listening to this in June or July, is what's the gift of presence that you can give? Like, how big of a gift is that for your family to be truly there, looking them in the eye, not playing on your phone, not checking your email, not trying to watch the game, but just, hey, what's going on? Let's talk about that. Like, let's be bored together even, or let's play a board game and be bored together because there's relationship in that.
That's why it's called a board game.
Yeah. Yeah. Usually your kids have to be pretty bored to play it. But every once in a while you can talk them into it and get them there. But I remember having a conversation with my kids, a year ago. And I just said, you know, have you noticed any differences? And one of the things they pointed out was the amount of time that I spent on my phone versus now. Like, now when we ask you a question, you answer it. Like, we don't have to keep asking it over and over and over until you finally listen. And I thought, man, it hurt a little bit, but it also felt good to know, like, hey, we're moving in a positive direction, and they see some things that are going. So I think, you know, obviously Christmas, New Year's, that's always a time for resolutions and kind of reflecting and thinking, what would I like the next year to look like? And I can't, you know, I can't project it and say, I want to be a millionaire and it's going to happen. I can't make any projections, but I do think that there's something about saying, when I look at qualities in my life, like, for, you know, 2020 is the year that's coming up. I don't know when you're listening to podcasts, but 2020 is the year that's coming up for us. When I look at 2020, I want it to be a year of gratitude. I feel like, especially over the last few months, I've lost my own personal sense of gratitude in all the little things. And so I want to focus on what that is. And I know that's kind of the hot thing now, is to pick a word instead of a resolution. But, you know, for me, it is really just focusing on that gratitude. And I think staying in that mindset is a helpful thing. So I'd hope that for you too, that there are some things that you can do that help you stay anchored in the present time.
Well, my resolution is to get up to 400 pounds, back to 400 pounds on my deadlift, and maybe, you know, break the 350 mark on the bench. Wait, are we talking about working out, or what are you talking
yeah,
about?
Yeah, not working out, you know. But I mean, you can share those too.
I thought it was resolutions for next year.
Yeah.
Are we supposed to do recovery resolutions?
Yeah, recovery resolutions, yeah.
Oh, jeez. man, that's difficult. You know, after 10 years, I've kind of run out of stuff to resolve.
You've got it. You're perfect now, right? So.
Yeah. Oh, dude, unbelievably perfect. It's like, I'm so perfect, it's scary. It's so scary. You know, I like your point about gratitude, about being grateful and really acknowledging even the little things to be grateful for. For me, you know, I'd probably piggyback on that as well. I mean, there's times where I lose that gratitude or don't really see it, especially with my kids. And I need to get back to seeing all the little things. Or, you know, I'll give you a perfect example. Today was my five-year-old's preschool Christmas party, and the room just, it smelled like poop. And it, I don't know if it was watermelon or the fruit or whatever. I mean, these are five-year-olds. They shouldn't have diapers on, and they don't. But it just kind of had a hint of smell to it. It's like, ugh. And I kept walking in and out just because it was just not fun. But that's a perfect example of old George coming out, not wanting to stay in there and suffer the smell. My daughter and the other kids didn't care. They were just running around crazy. Maybe there was a mom or a dad there with colitis or whatever it's called, you know, some kind of irritable bowel syndrome, who knows. And so anyway, but that's a perfect example of me not being grateful for the fact that I'm able to spend time, I'm off work, I'm able to spend time with her at this Christmas party, and instead I'm choosing to step outside for a few seconds and go back in, and step out and go back in. So I can definitely use some of that gratitude for next year, or even for this year, for the rest of this year. I mean, we still have, what, like 10 days, 12 days, something like that, yeah, for the rest of the year. So I mean, it'd be great to really be grateful for the little things that I have in my life and not be so such a jerk about it.
Hmm. And I think that's a great thing for all of us to take. Be less jerk and just more in the moment.
That's going to be a new book, Be Less Jerk.
That might be the name of this podcast. I think we just named this episode. So Be Less Jerk. So I also think during holidays, it comes to mind, like, you know, I was just in a meeting this week and one of the guys shared that, hey, my family is taking a winter ski trip. He's at a winter ski trip that I'm paying for, but I can't go on. And that rings true for a lot of guys in different ways. Maybe it's not a ski trip. Maybe it's just a trip to grandma's house, or maybe it's hosting a Christmas dinner that you're not invited to, or, you know, maybe you're sleeping in a hotel where your family's together on Christmas morning and you're not. These are things that a lot of us in recovery have gone through. And I just would want to say that it's not the end of the road. It's not, it is a season. It is not all of the seasons. So,
That's right. And just, hey, here's the other thing. I mean, just because you may have missed this one Christmas with your family or one holiday, whatever the holiday may be, doesn't mean that there are not going to be many, many, many more later on. So, you know, for the guy that is listening and maybe he is alone, I highly recommend that he make phone calls. And, you know, there's other guys out there that are in the same situation, and these guys can connect and get together and, you know, go see a movie, go have dinner, go have lunch together, do something together, because, you know, by ourselves, when we're isolated, we're extremely vulnerable. And I'm not just talking about acting out, you know, in our addiction vulnerable. I'm talking about depression, suicide, all those things. We are extremely vulnerable and make a plan to go hang with somebody. You know, maybe two or three guys that are going through the same thing. And I guarantee you it's going to be a whole heck of a lot better than being alone on holiday, whatever holiday it may be.
Yeah. And I think that's a good perspective of just realizing it's right now, but it's not always. So if you have those deep feelings and emotions of, okay, this is awful, I'm alone on the holidays. I need to, you know, I'm having thoughts of suicide or some of those deeper thoughts, then realize that perspective, a future cast of what can this look like in 5 years. It probably won't be five Christmases where you're alone. And so just realizing that it's today, but it's not all days. The other things with Christmas, and we touched on some of them, just giving gifts, being present, calling, using our time wisely. Sometimes we have a big expanse of time. So it's just being wise with our time and really calling others and utilizing that. But I also, there's one other thing that came to mind for me as I was just kind of prepping for this call and episode, was just thinking about that a lot of the world, or at least in America, focuses on giving and giving as a service to like the less fortunate during this time period, which is a great thing. But as an addict, I never had that mindset. I never thought about really what can I give others. I might have thrown some money or a check a certain way, but realizing how I can impact others, like that step 12 kind of work, is a huge thing to carry on from the Christmas season all year long. You have any thoughts about that?
Well, I mean, for me, it's very important to stay in that giving mode all 12 months, not just in Christmas. And that way I don't feel exhausted during Christmas because now I'm forced to give. And one of the things I do with my step group, we meet through Christmas. I mean, we're meeting every 2 weeks, and we met last Saturday, and the next time we'll meet will be on the 28th, right after Christmas. And it's one of those things where I keep doing that step 12 and giving back, even, you know, even during Christmas season, but I don't stop doing it the rest of the year. So for me, if I were to stop doing the rest of the year and get back into my selfish ways, then come Christmas, oh, it's giving season, let's give. Guess what? By January, I'm so exhausted, emotionally exhausted, physically exhausted, that, you know, I'm really opening myself to a relapse. Mm. And so if I continue the same pace of giving throughout the year, it really helps me come January.
Yeah, that makes sense. You don't have this let down or even this idea of resenting giving on some level. If you feel like you gave everything you had all out, and you get resentful of what happened. And so finding a pattern that's healthy is important. That reminds me of self-care too.
Absolutely.
You know, the other thing, a lot of times we think of self-care is I've got to go just take time off, get away, be alone and do something that's just for me, and recharge the batteries, so to speak. And I think self-care is a lot deeper than that. We've had conversations about it. We've had guests on the show about it, but it's about incorporating rest into your rhythm of your life, not just making it a weekend every 6 months. And the same thing can be true of giving and not making it this one or two time a year thing, but how do I spread that out and just make it a rhythm of how I live life? And I think those rhythms are the fruit of our lives, and we'll know who we are based on the fruit of what we see in our life. And so looking at what are the rhythms I see, not what do I do once or twice a year, but what do I do, you know, week in and week out, or you know, once or twice a month, those kind of things.
So I have porn and masturbation in my self-care. Is that what you're talking about?
That is correct? Probably not good self-care. But it's been a self-care tool of mine in the past, but it's not a...
It was a very unhealthy self-care.
Yeah, it was very unhealthy tool. Yeah.
My apologies to the listeners.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to put up with George on this podcast. That's part of it.
Oh, boy. That's sad. You know, it's interesting, Doug, and I'm sure you read the feedback that... that one feedback that I got a few months ago about... Were you on that email where the guy was like, hey, your podcast is great, but does George ever stop? I mean, this is over the top, and he's killing you. And I'm like... And my response to him was like, sorry, buddy. I don't ever stop, but there's plenty of other podcasts that I'm not on.
Yeah,
so I'm sure you listened to that. But for me, it was like, oh, this is what you get. Unfortunately, you know, being I give myself, I'm giving you the best part of me, which is my humor, my laughter, my bad jokes, or my dad jokes, if you will, all these things that I'm going to let that light shine so that others can see Christ in me. Because there's guys that knew me, friends that knew me before recovery, that knew how angry I always was or acted or looked. I mean, friends from college would say, hey, man, you're walking around like you got a chip on your shoulder with this mean look on your face. And I thought that was natural. Now today, I don't do that as much. Well, maybe at church, because I know there's a lot of phony people there. But but I like to laugh a lot, and I like to tell jokes a lot, and I like to smile a lot, and just bring that sort of happiness to where I'm at if I'm comfortable with people that are there. My family, my friends in recovery, some of the pastors from church, stuff like that know me and know my story. As weird as I am, I'm really, that's 180 degrees from where I used to be, and just sitting there angry and stewing and resentful. And now it's laughing and joking. And yeah, I'll admit some of the jokes I make are inappropriate, even at church. I'll make jokes to some of the pastors that are inappropriate, but it's one of those things where I'm not poking fun at anybody. Usually it's poking fun at me or saying something about me, and it's funny. And so one of those things where at Christmas time, or really throughout, just like I said before, all 12 months, I'm pretty much the same person all 12 months. I'm laughing, I'm joking, I'm saying stuff. The other Saturday we had the step group. I have one of your guys from Arkansas calling in to do our hangouts to do the step group with us. And it was his first call. So I get the chat up and the video screen. The first thing I said, whoa, dude, put some clothes on. This isn't that kind of chat. I mean, just something like that it sounds so stupid, but, everybody was laughing. He was laughing. I was laughing. It was just kind of dumb stuff like that I do all 12 months, not just Christmas. But when I'm with people at Christmas, they get the full George, and they don't get, the angry, the bitter, the resentful George.
That's great. That is George. So I think our listeners have learned that as well. But I do think it's great advice to give the best part of yourself. I think for so long I gave whatever was left, and I never had much left. But instead of looking at what can I, give first, to God and to others, it's a different mindset. It's something I probably would have always said. Just it never really came across in my actions. So, it's something anybody can say, but we all know it when you do it one way or the other. It just feels different. If I give you my time based on it's what I had left at the end of the week, or if I just gave you my time because you were so deserving of my time. Like, those are very different things. So I'm going to wrap up today with, and I didn't tell you we're going to do this, but I thought we could give one piece of advice that comes to mind, or just one thought that you'd like to share with someone. That if somebody came up to you off the street and you were like, I get to have this one real conversation with you, here's what I would say. And so think about that. Put you on the spot here in a second, and you can go with that. And I think we've covered a lot of different things that maybe would pop up for me and things that I would say. But one of the things that's hit me a lot lately is just this idea of, staying on our side of the street. And just enjoying what's on our side of the street and not trying to change other people, not trying to make other people fit the mold that I think they need to make, is going to make a 2020 better for me. So if I could focus on ways that I just enjoy, who this person is, rather than if I could only change this about them and this about them, and if they did this, then I would like them, and if they acted a certain way, I try to put everyone in a box. And I just would love to give the advice of, hey, let's not do that. So what's some advice that you would have out there?
Well, I'll start off with one of my favorite jokes. Why is Santa always so jolly?
Why is that?
Because he knows where all the naughty girls live. Oh, it up. That's how bad I am. Why is it always so jolly?
Why?
I can't even do that right. Because he knows where all the naughty girls live. You know, he's got that list of naughty and nice. So that's why it's so jolly. Oh, that was terrible. Anyway, so my thing is be authentic, and be authentic with those you're intimate with, your close friends, your close, your family, your close, you know, immediate family, maybe even family of origin. Be authentic. Be the same person you are in secret versus the same person in private versus the same person in public. And that is so freeing, and it allows the intimacy to flow within your family. If you mess up with your kids, admit it. Just, you know, say you're sorry. Say you messed up. Ask your kids for forgiveness. Same thing with your wife or your family of origin, any of these things. Just be authentic. And with authenticity, you can get to intimacy. Without authenticity, you can't be intimate. But be authentic. Be the same person. Be true of who you are, and, you know, stop wearing the mask with your family. Now, with other people, like outside, yeah, you can kind of not have to be authentic, because you don't have to be intimate with everybody. And for those that don't know intimacy, go listen to a few podcasts ago when we did the, you know, what's intimacy and all that, the subject of intimacy. I won't spoil it here, so you have to go search for that podcast. But anyway, without authenticity, you can't be intimate. So be authentic with your family. Be authentic at Christmas. Be authentic all 12 months, but especially now at Christmas with your children, with your wife, with your close friends, especially with your friends in recovery.
Absolutely. It's great advice. So for the listener out there, thanks for listening all of episode 77 like this and putting up with our bad jokes and those kind of things. So if you're listening on Christmas, New Year's, Arbor Day, 4th of July, whatever it is, hopefully it was meaningful to you. And as always, remember that as you're walking on this road of recovery...
Oh, wait a second. We're not done.
Well, I didn't get to finish Christmas. Oh, go ahead.
It's Christmas, man. It's Christmas.
All right.
So for the first five people that email us, puritypodcast@castmiller.org.
And tell us who won the joke contest with your vote of who you think won the joke contest.
No. What was the title of the podcast we gave it?
Be Less Jerk.
Be Less Jerk. Yes. Put that in the subject, and then in the actual email, tell us who won, George or Doug, with our dumb jokes. But the subject needs to say "Be Less Jerk," and this is for Christmas. So the first five individuals that email us and say, "Hey, be less jerk," and then George won the joke. Yeah, I'm going to leave it at that, right? I will send you a Castamonia book.
Castamonia book or a battle plan book?
Yeah, whichever one they want. So they can go ahead and ask me which one they want. I can send it to them free of charge and as a Christmas gift for listening and really as a penance for putting up with the bad humor of this podcast.
Well, I think that is a great gift. Hopefully we'll have five people that email about that. And now can I close out the podcast?
As long as you tell them that we're not walking this road alone.
Yeah, perfect. Perfect. Thanks for being a spoiler. No, as you are walking on this road of recovery, remember, just like George said, you are not walking alone.